Our scripture is from Isaiah 9, verse 6, which says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called," or called, if you're singing Handel's Messiah, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm just going to preach on four words, actually. Well, a few more than that. I'm going to talk about four. I'm going to talk about unto us. I'm going to talk about a child. And I'm going to talk about is born. I'm going to do those fairly briefly. Four is an announcement word. Four is a big word. It says for something is going to happen. Yeah, Shakespeare and actors will know the power of a good for. "For he today that sheds his blood, with me shall tomorrow my brother be." Where did that come from, anyone? Henry the Fifth. Well done for the drama teacher who should know that, I guess. Or, "For we which now behold these present days have eyes to wonder, but lack tongues to praise." That's a Shakespearean sonnet. Or the one that I was thinking of was, "For now is the winter of our discontent," okay, which I thought was a really sad announcement, until I found out, A, that "now is the winter of our discontent" doesn't begin with "for," so it can't be used. and secondly, "now is the winter of our discontent" isn't actually sad, it's happy. I didn't realise that until I had a little look. Did you know that? "The winter of our discontent" is actually a positive phrase, not a negative phrase. So anyway, yeah, you learn something, don't you? But four is an announcement, yeah? And basically, in the case of this four, it is the most important announcement in human history, in the cosmos, in the whole of time and space. You know, there may be loads of announcements. We've had loads of announcements recently. Yeah, we've had announcements of royal weddings. We've had announcements of babies. We've had announcements of what Donald Trump is going to do in North Korea and what North Korea is going to do to Donald Trump. And we've had all sorts of these majestic announcements said with great seriousness and gravitas. But all of these are knocked into a complete tin hat, are just pale into total insignificance compared to this announcement: "For unto us a child is given." It is about cosmic rescue. It is about amazing salvation. Yeah, just picture a small group of homesteaders surrounded by Indians. The wagons are circled. The faces of the grubby but sweet-looking children stare in abject fear. The stoic parents, usually the dad firing and the mother reloading, or in older films, the dad firing and the mother shrieking, yeah, fight on. And then suddenly there's the da-da-da-da of the US cavalry as it comes over the horizon. Yeah, the da-da-da-da is the salvation of the band of homesteaders. Picture Minas Tirith under siege by the foul forces of Mordor, as it's pronounced. The gates are breached, the walls in ruin, the Nazgul swoop and dive. People are picked off the towers and dropped into the abyss. And then over the hill comes Theoden and Aragorn. The lost king of Gondor has returned. The lost king of Gondor has returned. The lost king of humanity has returned. Or picture humanity sold out to Satan by stupid sin, under his heel, cursed by his rule and dominion, constantly at his mercy, like a carcass being picked clean or a dying mouse being played with by a sadistic cat. But then comes the phrase, "For unto us a child is born." Can you see the momentousness of the announcement? Can you see how important that "for" is? It's the most important "for" in the whole of creation. This Christmas time, we are called to announce that for ourselves. Yeah, the Bible says, "Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news." Blessed are those who make their own announcement, "For unto us a child is born." "Unto us" confirms the news is a gift. And the "us" is an interesting word because actually it sort of is like a stone dropped in a pond, and the ripples just go wider and wider. So for Isaiah, the unto us was a Messiah, gift to the people of Israel to rescue them from their enemies, to create a permanent nation. Isaiah would have had a good reason to be really motivated to seek rescue because Israel was under tremendous pressure. It had Assyria in the north bearing down on it. It had Egypt in the south bearing up on it. Both of the nations were seriously armed to the teeth. There was a sense of smallness. And so Isaiah cries out, for unto us a child is born. So there was a need for poor Israel to rescue. But as you go on through history, as it were, the us sort of resonates further. So in New Testament times, the Messiah or Savior becomes a gift to the church, not just Israel, to rescue them from their sin and bring about Christ's kingdom rule. For the world through time and history, the gift of Jesus is God's gift to the whole of humanity, past, present, and future. A huge company of people blinded to the fact that they need such a gift. And of course, for the whole cosmos, for the whole universe, the whole of creation, the unto us is a whole system waiting for rescue. Scripture talks about it, doesn't it? It talks about the whole of creation groans and cries out as though in childbirth, waiting for the return of the Messiah and waiting for the sons of man to come into their rulership. Yeah, it's a very powerful, it's not particularly common scripture, but it's a remarkable scripture. And can you see how the unto us sort of goes from Israel to the church to the world to the whole of creation? Yeah, awaiting rescue. Yeah, unto us. Is there anyone here who's awaiting rescue? I think, was it Celine or someone said, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, if there's anyone here who's just coming here longing to be rescued, longing to be saved, has a sense that this resonates with them, Lord, I pray that you would rescue them right here, right now. And I'll just say, if the Spirit's speaking to you and you have that in your heart, then just go and chat to someone at the end of the service and say, yeah, that was me. I long to be rescued. Either for salvation or I long to be rescued from something in my life. If there's anything that you need rescuing from, as it were, then can I just encourage you to chat to someone and get them to pray for you at the end of the service. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. A child. A child is the surprise element in the package. Yes, you expect a king or a prince to be sent. You expect some sort of magnificent savior on a charger or a steed, a white steed. And then suddenly it's not that, it's a child. You think that is just a little bit odd, really. And then we're reminded always of the economy of God at Christmas time, aren't we? When the whole of the universe needs a savior from a malicious enemy who is the destroyer of the whole of humanity, the one who is the devourer, the one who is the prince of the air, the one who is so huge and so dark and so evil, and God's solution is a baby. It's just absolutely bizarre. The economy is completely weird. It's completely topsy-turvy. It's completely upside down. And how can a baby do anything? How can a baby make a difference? How can a baby change a world, change a planet, change a universe? Yeah, it's just part of the way that God chooses to do things that is both magnificent and awesome and just incomprehensible all at the same time. And so he sends a baby. And what are the lessons of that? I don't know. I think there are a couple of things. One is that humility is just the way in which he chooses to operate, that Jesus comes in the humility of a stable and he comes in a vulnerability and he comes in simplicity, and with him comes the message of the gospel and the message of liberation. And can I just encourage us to be humble, as it were, into this Christmas, especially as we chat with friends about him and talk to him. Let me encourage us to do so humbly, to do so with a listening ear, to do so with a listening heart, and to know that actually there is power in the gospel, and the time will come when we can exercise that power and share it. But actually there's also a time to listen and a time to spend time with people. I found that really challenging, this whole, once again, this idea that a child, And finally, the most challenging bit of this for me is the whole idea that he is born. And of course, being born is the whole idea of the incarnation, which is a long word which means incarnate, in flesh. Yeah, that Christ comes in flesh, that God, the magnificent God, is squeezed into a tiny human package of flesh and bone that is so vulnerable. Again, something that we can't even begin to understand. This whole idea of the incarnation is just amazing. He just is allows himself, is willing to be become one of us in order to bring about our salvation. And the challenge for me was this, just as I was sort of thinking about the incarnation, I read a section from John Burke, who wrote a book called No Perfect People Allowed, which I really recommend, actually. I recommend No Perfect People Allowed as an important book in terms of just challenging us in our witness. And he used an illustration. He basically said this: sometimes witnessing or outreach in a church can look like standing on the deck of a cruise ship. And we can be involved in our activities. And then every now and again, we can see a whole load of people drowning in the sea. And what we do is we take our little life rings and we sort of chuck them out. And we encourage the people to sort of climb up the side of the ship and come on board. And we sort of provide encouragement and we say, come on, you can do it, you can make it. You know, good verses and all the rest of it. And sometimes people get up there and sometimes they don't. And they drop back into the water and we throw out the life ring again. And he says that's sometimes how we can do our witnessing. But then he says, he gives the challenge, he says, what if you on the deck were to tie yourself to the life ring and then attach the rope to the ship and then you throw yourself over the side? Yeah? And then he said that is incarnational evangelism. That actually you are so identifying the people that you're reaching out to, you're forming strong relationships, you're living their lives, you're feeling their hurts, you're identifying with their pains, you're seeing their agonies, you're emotionally in touch with what they're going through, you're spending time genuinely getting to know the real person, yeah, and then as a result of that, you gain permission to share Christ. I think that is the most powerful means of witness available to us. I really do, actually. I know there are all sorts of other types, but I think statistics show that 70% of people who come to Christ come through relationship. They come through friendship. Yeah, and actually, I think my calling in God this Christmas time is to build friendships with people, to hear their pain, to understand what they're going through, to spend time with them, and then, which in a sense gives permission to share Christ, gives permission to say, do you fancy coming to church or coming for a meal? Or coming to hear this or that, or coming to a carol service, or coming to a performance, or coming to Big Tree Night. We've got plenty on. Yeah. But did you know that actually permission to ask is not presumed, it's earned. And it's earned through relationship, through the hard currency of relationship. Yeah. You know, that hard currency is through spending time with people and being with them and identifying with them and getting to know them and all the rest of it. Yeah, and so that is my real challenge. I feel that I've been really challenged to do that. And I pray that that challenge would be passed on to all of you. Yeah, I can have only about 4 or 5 friends. Did you know that? Who are not Christians, roughly. They say usually people can have about 4 or 5. Yeah, so, you know, on the basis of my efforts alone, the potential of this church is incredibly limited. Yeah, but if we were all to have 4 or 5 friends, yeah, and we were all to spend time with them and input into their lives, I know we're busy, I know we've got all sorts of different things going on, but actually, can I have that as our challenge? Yeah, to have really strong friendships and to get permission to introduce people to Christ. Yeah, we don't want one stranger introducing another stranger to yet another stranger. We want one friend introducing a friend to our closest friend, don't we? Let's just encourage us in that. That's about it, really. Thank you for your indulgence. Thank you that we had a good fun together praising the King of Kings. Let's get it right. Let's worship him. Let's enjoy him. Let's spend time with him. Let's make him our priority this Christmas. There'll be all sorts of other junk flying around. Yeah, but let's not get too much involved in that. Let's ensure that Christ is, he is the main thing. He is the object of our desire, our affection, our worship, our everything. Important to get him number one. Everything else will just follow. Yeah, if you get the one right, then the rest will follow. If you try and juggle around all your other priorities, you'll get in a royal mess and you'll come unstuck. Yeah, that's the first thing. And the second thing is just this incarnation. He became flesh for us. Yeah, and he is calling us, as he's now in heaven preparing a place for us, he's calling us to become flesh for those around us. Yeah, politicians talk about pressing the flesh, don't they? Which is a dreadful term. Which is actually sort of shaking hands with lots of people, yeah, and whatever. But there's a reality in terms of actually becoming flesh, about identifying with people and becoming really close to them and giving permission to introduce them to Christ. Let's pray, shall we? And then we're going to call it a day. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. We've had loads today. We've worshipped you. Thank you for Paul and the team who've led us in worship. And Lord, great to see many worship songs just pointing to this scripture, which is just tremendous. Thank you for all the notices and all the stuff that's going on in the life of this church. Lord, that's good too. Lord, thank you for a bit of fun as we got together and we sang your praises through classical music, through Handel's Messiah. Lord, finally, we thank you that you call us to enjoy you and worship you and appreciate you and spend time with you. And Lord, I pray that that would be our primary calling this Christmas. As we introduce this new series, Make Way for the King, we may just be focused on you. We may put a CD on and worship you, or we may listen to a bit of Handel's Messiah, or we may just hum a little bit, or we may just be lost in praise and worship as we read a particular scripture. Whatever in a sense is good for us, Lord, that we will make you the center of our worship and adoration. Lord, secondly, that we will make you known, to know Christ and make him known, to be in relationship with Christ and be in relationship with others, for Christ to give himself for us and for us to give ourselves to others. Lord, show us the key people that you want us to spend crucial time with this Christmas period, to invite out for whatever, coffee, or to have over for a meal, or to invite over. Lord, show us, point us, guide us by your Holy Spirit. You are so ready to do that. Acts is full of examples of the way in which your Holy Spirit grabs hold of a person, drags him off into the desert, grabs hold of a person, pulls him up to Samaria, grabs hold of a person, and he preaches the gospel to 2,000. And Lord, just loads of examples in which the Holy Spirit takes hold of people and uses them to be powerful witnesses. Lord, take hold of us and use us. Miraculously take us from one place to another. Lord, miraculously introduce us to new people. Miraculously have us in contact with those who you have clear knowledge are open to you. Lord, this Christmas I pray for wonderful supernatural opportunities to share you. And Lord, also I just pray for wonderful supernatural opportunities to see healings, to see prophecies, to see your Spirit move. It talks about the gospel advancing with signs and wonders, with all sorts of wonderful things happening. Lord, I pray for that as well. Lord, we don't just want to put on a sort of, let's impress everyone show, Lord. We want to see you at work, powerfully moving in lives. Lord, the gospel is about the whole person. It's about salvation, but it's also about making whole. It's about making emotionally whole. It's about making physically whole. It's about making psychologically whole. Lord, there's a sense in which the gospel encompasses every single area of human life. Lord, I pray that the gospel in its entirety would advance this Christmas time. That people would be saved, they'd be healed, they'd be delivered, they'd fall in love with you again, they would be just restored, etc., 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 etc. Move powerfully amongst us, Big Tree Night, Aladdin, the carol service. Lord, as we pack hampers and as we deliver them and as we spend time with people who are in real need, move powerfully in each one of us, your people, your body, your arms and legs this Christmas. Lord, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.